Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending August 8th, 2018. And it was kind of a busy week. Alex Jones is probably the top stories, plural. So before I do anything about that, let's get into some of these stories. Conspiracy theorists hijack YouTube searches for celebrities. This is out of NBC Chicago / NBC San Diego. That apparently a bunch of videos have started to surface where when someone searches out a particular celebrity of interest, and getting this various conspiracy theories. Most of it has to do with the pedophile ring and so on that I've talked about before. Mostly as a attack on Democrats, Democratic politicians and celebrities are part of this child sex ring. So this is probably nothing new. You've seen the ads. So and so endorses a product. Judge Judy. I think I've seen stuff like Judge Judy endorses this lawyer or Oprah and various products. Whoever's popular at the time on television, they kind of get stuff tagged to them. I've seen a lot of these. Shark Tanks endorses these financial wonder products that will make you rich and so on. So this isn't really anything new, except now conspiracy theorists have tried to get their story out, have started to hide their messages within what appears to be an illegitimate online video. And then, of course, there's a story out of, I believe, this is out of England, about the Morning Viewer's slam man who claims moon landings were fake. Basically, the typical story, this fellow, let me find the name here, Martin Kenny, who was on this morning show. I don't have his article doesn't say what where this might have appeared, but there's a guy, Martin Kenny, alongside Dr. Sarah Bosman. Emin Jones, Ruth Langford attempt to discover the truth behind the Apollo manned missions to the moon. Martin, who's also an advocate of the flat Earth theory, launched into a lengthy argument regarding his theories on the moon landing being faked and filmed. Martin Kenny couldn't quite win over the morning audience with his fake moon land theory. The crux of his argument seems to center around a smoking gun, which was the data from the mission, supposedly destroyed and or closely guarded, would be the only way to prove mankind indeed had been to the lunar surface. Dr. Bosman was not impressed, and neither were the show viewers or hosts. While Dr. Bosman responded that the notion of something in which so many people had worked on was fake was ludicrous on many levels. Ruth and Emin pressed on, attempting to provide balanced debate. Unfortunately, despite saying he had proof that would back up his statements, Martin actually failed to produce any. Which shouldn't surprise you, but this is the ongoing story. They present these, what they believe is factual information, which is usually either half-truths or just out-and-out made-up lies. And they go on to these pundit shows and try to present their belief, their story, and only to get tore down by people who really do know what they're talking about. So this is just a typical ongoing story. We'll probably hear more before long, but certainly, we'll never escape the crazies out there. So, HHS official who made anti-Muslim comments and spread conspiracy theories resigns. This is from CNN Politics. Unfortunately, I have a rough time pronouncing this name, but apparently the Department of Health and Human Services, this Ximena Barreto, a far-right political pundit who was appointed in December to a communication post at the Department of Health and Human Services, resigned on Friday, an HHS official confirmed to CNN. She was placed on leave in April, following reports from CNN and Media Matters that she spread conspiracies and made anti-Muslim comments. After issuing a public apology, she returned to work but was moved from her job as Deputy Director of Communications. So, again, we have a administration that is hostile toward immigrants, mostly Central and South American immigrants, and certainly this person who apparently had worked with the Trump campaign in California. So, this person who has promoted conspiracy theory that the French President Emmanuel Macron, was controlled by the Rothschild family, and the Clinton and former President Barack Obama are controlled by investor and Democratic mega donor George Soros. Both the Rothschilds and Soros are frequent targets of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. She's promoted many of these well-known promoting these various conspiracy theories that there's this secret elite that's controlling the world. Then, of course, Soros has been added to that list. It's generally the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers have been the primary purveyors of this secret, or supposed to be the leaders or members of the secret cabal that is supposed to be taking over the world. And, of course, the Republicans have latched on and tried to promote these theories, and their attempt to knock them down, so to speak, or to fight these people. So, needless to say, this is, again, somebody who is catered to their base. Apparently, many Republicans are believing that. I'm finding it hard to believe that this is necessarily a Republican thing. I think it's more of a Tea Party thing. But, of course, the Tea Party has kind of been a part of the Republican Party. So do the Republicans endorse this type of work? I don't know. It's hard to say. It would be an interesting question. So I'm just going to leave that story, because I'm actually going to talk a little bit about a real conspiracy: how an ex-cop rigged McDonald's Monopoly game and stole millions. Actually, I'm not going to go too deep into the story. I'm actually going to give you a link to this one, because it's pretty neat. This is a story of the Daily Beast, and it's interesting that this is actually a real, for lack of a better word, a real conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's reality, where a high-level security person who had access to the winning pieces. If you're not familiar with McDonald's Monopoly game, apparently it's twice a year. I don't spend too much time at McDonald's, so I kind of miss these things. But, and actually, it's not high on my list to play the game anyhow. But basically, you buy pieces to the game, which is based on the Monopoly board game, which I don't know, again, if that translates outside of the United States or North America. I think it does. I think it's a very popular game, even outside the U.S. But you buy stuff at McDonald's. Apparently, it's on the drink cups or the French fry containers. I'm not sure what other ones that they attach this to, but you get these pieces, you fill out a board, there's some freebie, you can win free food and so on. But then if you get all the pieces for some of the bigger prizes, of course you win those prizes. And this guy was responsible for these high-priced, high-value prizes. And he managed to work out a neat little scam to sell those high-value pieces. And this article goes into that. And, of course, one of the winners, what kind of triggered the interest was a investigation after one of the winners, the million-dollar prize winner. The interview had a lot of questions, and certainly the person they were interviewing didn't have the good answers to how they won and how they did it. So it raised enough questions that the FBI began an investigation. And sure enough, this fellow known as Uncle Jerry would eventually be identified as Jerome Paul Jacobson, who was a kind of a failed, maybe a not really a failed, but he had a lot of trouble becoming a police officer. He had, you know, issues outside of any type of capabilities. Apparently an injury had curtailed his ability to be a police officer, but he ended up becoming the security officer for the McDonald's Corporation in the delivery of these, the winning pieces. Many of the big prizes, one piece would be the one piece that would complete your whatever you're going to win for whatever, you know, street block you were working on. And apparently was selling them to friends, family, so on, trying to, basically, you know, just pretty much rig the game. So his friends or investors, so to speak, there seemed to be a people who wanted to win the McDonald's, the big prizes, you know, they would funnel money to this fellow. But the FBI caught on and eventually arrested and convicted the guy. And that's pretty much the story. I'm actually going to make this available on the website, MikeBowler.com, so you can check it out. I'm not going to go into the, because it is a pretty long story, at least 10 pages worth. So it would probably be better if you read this whole thing on its own. So let's get into the Alex Jones stories. Now, I've got five stories here, and they're all pretty close to the same, mostly over the lawsuits that are being filed against him. I think I've talked about the countersuit in some of the case there in Texas that is a, that these people that are suing, or the case that they're using, the Posner family who is suing Alex Jones, Jones is countersuing them in Texas, if I'm reading this correctly and understanding this correctly, that Texas has a law that if you, it sounds like a frivolous lawsuit situation where you can't necessarily attack a radio personality, or you can't claim a radio news personality, a journalist, whatever, with a defamation suit, that if the defamation isn't true, that you are hindering his First Amendment rights and Jones would be entitled to damages. So this is actually a case that they put together against the Posner family, who is suing him for defamation, probably because this is a weaker case, or at least the Posner case may be a weaker case. So this may be a chance of Jones countering this attack via lawsuit. That's what it seems like to me, because Jones is clearly has promoted the false, false flag hoax that is supposed to be the Sandy Hook. Many of the shootings, if not all the shootings in the United States, are false flags to, of course, give the government, give Congress the will to take away guns from Americans. That's the primary mover behind all this. So that trying to paint a picture of the government staging these shootings as a pretext to take away guns. This is the same arguments that the government created 9/11 to create the pretext to attack Afghanistan, Iran, so on. So in this particular case, Jones is undertaking this, I think this is probably the only defense he's going to have, or at least coming out maybe in his favor, if the case is weak or not strong enough to stand up to scrutiny, at least in the a defamation case against Jones. I'm mashing these two, the two people, you know, these stories together, because Posner is suing because of his, Jones's claims of the shooting was fake. And of course, the Posner family, because of that, all the crazies have come after them with death threats and so on. And of course, the only person that they can really go after is Alex Jones. Alex Jones is countering that argument that he has the right to say what he wants to say, and he can defend that through this law that is in Texas that protects him from frivolous lawsuits, that the Posner's claim is frivolous and it attacks his First Amendment rights, or it's just free speech. And I looked it up. There is actually a law there that Jones can use, but he's not using that against the other eight or nine lawsuits that are filed against him. He's only going after this one. So it may be the one that he could win and get up with a favorable ruling. And perhaps then they're thinking that then they can carry that through the other cases. We'll see what this strategy might be, but certainly it is Jones certainly is in trouble. He's the New York Times writes about these legal issues, and he is getting some defense from outside, and these are the two funny stories. Ted Cruz has decided to stand up for Alex Jones in the Facebook ban. Ted Cruz says, who in the hell made Facebook the arbiter of political speech? And again, the argument, at least from Cruz's standpoint, was that, okay, so Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas, on Saturday, pushed back against Facebook for banning conspiracy theorist and InfoWars founder Alex Jones, suggesting the platform was infringing on the First Amendment. I'm no fan of Jones, among other things. He has a habit of repeatedly slandering my dad by falsely and absurdly accusing him of killing JFK. But who the hell made Facebook the arbiter of political speech? Free speech includes views you disagree with, Cruz tweeted. Now, of course, this has to do with Facebook and other platforms that have started to ban Alex Jones, basically his hate speech, mostly the ones that are more egregious, apparently, than what he normally will do. Jones does have a habit of, he'll start talking about the globalist stuff, and no one really seems to pay attention. It's until he starts picking on the Sandy Hook folks or the Pizzagate, and when his speech send somebody to with a gun into a pizza parlor or whatever, then it raises enough issues that maybe for some reason they want to shut. Then they start to try to shut them down. So they apparently Facebook is dealing with the dilemma of Jones in general, which they seem to want to allow him his First Amendment rights or whatever they. Or at least his ability to speak his mind on the Facebook platform, unless it does get into hate speech, getting into violent action, so on, then they will start blocking his stuff and will escalate if Jones continues to promote hates against whoever. Any falsehoods he presents that. Facebook is not going to touch that. It's mostly if it does incite violence or hate. So that seems to be the movement within Facebook. And of course, other sites, Spotify apparently is now, I don't have that story that just started popping up, but apparently other platforms have started shutting down parts of Alex Jones' speech. And actually, the weirdest part of this whole thing has to do with a fellow, and really, it has to do with this fellow, Andrew Anglin, of the Daily Stormer. Alex Jones now censored by Spotify after YouTube and Facebook. This is the Daily Stormer. I'm not going to give you any links to, I'm not going to, or any, I really don't even like talking about this, but this is a guy, he's a, it's hard to say what he is, but he seems to fit into the neo-Nazi area. If you are brave enough to go to the Daily Stormer, you'll see nothing. You'll see all sorts of Jew this, Jew that, a lot of other derogatory words in reference to Jew on this site. This guy certainly he has advocated violence against Jews and Hispanics, and of course, this guy has had his problems with censorship, where he's been unable to post or operate a website. Apparently he does this through various services and so on. Probably not much different than how I do it. I go through HostGator, so he's probably gone to various hosting sites and been turned down by his sites. The Daily Stormer is much worse than Stormfront, which is the Ku Klux Klan's front page on the internet. So certainly he's had troubles getting online, getting out his webpage up. He must have found somebody who's going to host his site, because I find this article, and this is a guy who, there was actually an article in The Atlantic kind of describing who this guy is. I had to find out who he really was. But he's one of those who had gone to the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. He has been all over the world, from the Philippines, all over Europe, been to Russia. I think he's, according to the article, it looks like he may still be in Russia, hiding away from being here in the United States, or at least he did a brief run through Charlottesville, because he was present at the rallies there. And yeah, reading this article, right at the top, though Alex Jones did not defend me when I was censored, only Tucker and Sargon did. I will continue to defend him when he is censored. Though he was a fool for not standing by me when I became the most censored man in all history, it was obvious at the time that he was the next logical step. So, yeah, and when I read that, okay, I had no idea who this guy was until I came across this article. Apparently, not a lot of people really cared who this guy was. He seems to be kind of a, I guess, basically a troll. He tends to, more interested in provoking people than any type of real discourse. And I got a kick out of this because Alex Jones had no clue who this guy was. And probably because of his actions at Charlottesville, Jones has decided to distance him from those people, basically. And Jones, I don't see Jones necessarily thinking like that, but he may have people telling him, don't overly endorse Charlottesville. Defend the Trump supporters, but don't defend Charlottesville. It seems to be what's going on there. So this guy was probably totally ignored, or if Jones knew about him, just up and, ignored the guy. So, and of course, this guy goes on about talking about his him being censored. Nothing more about anything. Nothing. That's the most he says in this article, which is, about two pages printed, single space, that his problems. It has something. This article actually has very little to do with Alex Jones, other than, Alex Jones didn't defend me, but I'll defend him, and here's why, because I've been picked on, type of thing. Really, and then, of course, I don't know how the ADL, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, how the Jews plays into this, how Donald Trump. But of course, when I looked up this guy, apparently he is one that has been emboldened by Trump being elected. This is what I've been arguing, or I've talked about before, that even though Donald Trump believes or thinks that he is appealing to patriotic Americans, what he's done is open up the floodgates, so to speak, to allow the more conspiratorial, those who are more conspiratorial, giving them the voice that they've been looking for. So that's pretty much the news for this week. That's basically what I have, except I kind of forgot, and I'm not really sure if it's really going to be a story yet, though it's, I'm starting to see articles about QAnon and being more vocal, those who believe in the QAnon story. I have talked about the billboards from last week, but apparently now a Trump rally had a group who has started promoting or had been chanting out or whatever they were doing in promoting the QAnon conspiracy at Trump rallies. I don't know if this is just a one-off thing or if it goes on. Let's wait and see. But certainly, I talked quite a bit about QAnon over the year, and certainly, I don't think this is definitely not a story that's going to go away. So we'll see what happens there. So that's pretty much the show. We'll call it a show. I'd like to thank you for listening. I have no real announcements. I haven't had a chance to work on the email issues. So certainly you can post on the website, MikeBowler.com, and feel free to leave any feedback. I'm not sure what's happening. Supposedly, I don't know if Google's I don't think they're necessarily blocking me, but they're going to mark me as unsecure. Don't worry too much about that, except that unless you really are super security minded and don't want to go to unsecure websites, you know, that's your prerogative. As best I can tell, your information would be safe, actually, because to leave a feedback on a message or on the blog post for this show, at least I don't think there's any logging of your home IP address. You can use whatever name I think you can even post anonymously, and feel free to post anonymously if you have to, but do realize that I'll probably I have these issues with anonymous posts. That's why QAnon is high on my highly dubious list, is because these posts are coming from an anonymous source, nothing to corroborate, things like that. I do understand that some people have to be anonymous in their, if they're dealing with a hostile workplace that is hostile to their beliefs. I get that part, but certainly it can go too far, and you can hide. It's basically a way to hide away from, or at least to hide your, or being able to hide allows you to be a little bit more of a jerk, I guess. I'm going to leave it at that. My site doesn't collect that much information. I don't believe there may be something, I think maybe a log might have where you came from, but that is the extent. I've got the site secured anyhow, so hopefully it'll hold up. So thank you for listening. This was episode 101, recorded August 8th, 2018. Thank you and good night.